Okay, good morning. We're going to begin. It's already a few minutes late. We got more people come in. Once again, mazel tov to Mrs. Goldberg, who's made the mysterious effort to come today, and mazel tov to Mrs. Kranz.
Friday.
Okay, so last week we started the halachos of Yom Tov, and what we did basically last week was we set the grounds, we laid out the grounds for the basic rules for halachos of Hilchos Yom Tov, and what we're going to do today, Psiyata D'Shmaya, will to be go through some of the practical malachos, Borer, Tochen, Schita, what comes out, how we're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Now, all the halachos we're going to say today is all based on what we said last week. Meaning, what we said last week was, we came out, we discussed which malachos are permitted to do on Yom Tov over Shabbos, and we came out, we said that there was a machlokas in the Rishonim. We called it opinion number one and opinion number two. Opinion number one was, just a quick review, was any malacha that would not have been as good if you would have done it before Yom Tov. So such a malacha, such an act, then you are permitted to do that on Yom Tov. But an act that you could have totally done before Yom Tov with the same effectiveness, the same, would have been just as good, that is not allowed to be done on Yom Tov. That was opinion number one. Opinion number two was anything that's done for many days. An act that's done for many days, that is not allowed to be done on Yom Tov. But an act that's done on a small scale, just for now, just for the way of eating, the small scale, that is permitted to do on Yom Tov. That was one thing we spoke about last week. And another thing we spoke about last week, which we're going to get into today, was the concept of mitoch. We said there's a concept of mitoch, shehutra l'tzarech ochel nefesh, shutra shelo l'tzarech ochel nefesh, that we have certain malachos that if they're an ochel nefesh type of malacha, then even if you do that malacha for non-ochel nefesh reasons, that would also be permitted. It has to have a need for Yom Tov, but, or your own personal need for today, but you'll have that heter of mitoch, that if it's an ochel nefesh type of act, then it will be permitted even for not ochel nefesh purposes. And we need to discuss which malachos are considered ochel nefesh malachos and which ones are not. So now each and every malacha we're going to have to plug back in to those two major rules. So let's start with the malacha of Borer. We discussed Borer very a few months ago. There are only a few people here. I think if we're going to get permission from the few people that were here, the few people that were here for Borer, we're going to maybe have a review about Borer, perhaps after Yom Tov, because many of you here were not here for Borer. So we'll do those halachos again. But just to start off with what we need to know for Yom Tov, there are ways that Borer is permitted to be done on Shabbos. There's three rules. If you do these three rules, then it's permitted to be done on Shabbos. If it's done miyad, for the immediate use. If it's done biyad, if it's done by your hands, and of course there's many halachos, what's considered doing by hand, what's considered doing with a kli, and it has to be ochel mitoch psoles. You have to take the good from the bad. Those are halachos that some of you I'm sure are familiar with. That has to be for immediate use with your hands and for the good from the bad. Now we have to discuss what's the halacha by Yom Tov. Yom Tov, we're going to see there's going to be some stringencies, some leniencies. This great discussion, this is what basically comes out, la halacha. Borer that's done, I'll say this slowly because this is the most important sentence. Borer that's done in the normal manner of preparing food, and which is not as good when done yesterday, is mutter, is permitted to do on Yom Tov. Again, and those are the two rules we keep on saying. That if it's done in the normal manner of preparing food, meaning it's done on a small scale, and it's not as good if it would have been done yesterday, so then it's mutter to be done on Yom Tov. Those are the two rules that we always have to fit in. If those two rules apply, if those two conditions apply, then it's permitted to be done on Yom Tov. For example, peeling vegetables. You're allowed to peel vegetables on Yom Tov. Why? Because... Yeah, we'll get there. The reason why you're allowed to is because if the vegetables will be peeled yesterday, I think you would all agree that it's not as good. If I would peel my cucumbers yesterday, so yes, I could put it in water and different things, but it's not as good. It would lose its freshness, if it would even get brown a little bit, if I would have done it yesterday. So since this borer, peeling is considered borer, and since if I would have done it yesterday, it wouldn't have been as good, then I'm allowed to do it today, even for later use. Even for later on in the day, I don't have to worry about when my husband's coming home from shul. I'm allowed. That's not a problem of borer. I'm allowed to do it even for later in the day. I'm not allowed to peel vegetables for tomorrow, after Yomtiv, or even for the second day Yomtiv, because that anyways we said, you're not allowed to do Malacha for after Yomtiv. But you're allowed to do Burr, even if it's not for immediate use. Now, as far as taking the good from the bad, or the bad from the good, we said already by Burr, that peeling is not a problem, even though you think about it, you're taking the bad from the good, but by peeling, that's not an issue, because that's the only way to do it. That doesn't make it a lack of Derech Achila. That's the only way to peel, taking the bad from the good. But the issue is that you're allowed to do it even for not immediate use, you're allowed to peel for later on in the day, in the morning, for later on, for the Suda later. It's not a problem, because if you would peel it yesterday, it wouldn't be as good. And of course, it's not considered a large scale. I'm just peeling some vegetables for today. Also, we said last week, if you didn't have the vegetables yesterday, if you didn't have the food yesterday, or if it only got mixed, the mixture that we're doing borer only got mixed today, or you were so busy that you couldn't do it yesterday, those are all also conditions. Those are considered as if you could not do it yesterday, and therefore it is mutter. Another example, you're allowed to remove bones from fish and chicken. Of course, that's like one of the famous examples. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But on Yontif, you're allowed to. Because the Peskim say, Rabbi Yasha says, that if you take out the bones from the fish or from the chicken before Yontif, so then that ruins the food. The chicken falls apart, the fish falls apart. And Rabbi Nissen Krelet says, not like that, but Rabbi Yasha says you could be makel, and you're allowed to take the bones from the fish and the chicken because that would mess up the food. So that's considered as if you can't do it yesterday. Of course, that's considered a small scale. It's a small amount. So that would also be permitted if somebody on Yontif says, hey, take out the bones on Yontif, you could tell them, Rabbi Yashua says, on Yontif you're allowed to do that. If these situations do not apply, if it would be just as good if it would have been done yesterday, then the halacha is, this is what the place can come out, Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Shulchan Aruch Harav, that you have to do all three conditions. All three conditions, like we spoke about by Shabbos, has to be for immediate use with your hands and taking the good from the bad. Then, if these situations do not apply, it could have been just as good yesterday. Let's say you could find some other cases of a borer, a mixture by a food that totally could have been done yesterday. We'll talk about non-foods in a few minutes. Then then you have to do all three conditions. There is one restriction, though. One restriction is that we said that on Shabbos, you always have to do the good from the bad. It also has to be for immediate use and with your hands, but on Shabbos, you always have to do the good from the bad. On Yontif, it's not always like that. Meaning, let's say you have a situation where it could have been just as good yesterday. So you don't have a free-for-all to do burr. You're not allowed to just go ahead and do burr because it could have been just as good yesterday. So now I have to do it for immediate use. I have to do with my hands. But I don't always have to do good from the bad. Sometimes it's the exact opposite, that you have to do the bad from the good. What comes out by Yomtif is that you have to do whichever is the less tircha. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Whatever is the least bother. Now, sometimes it's easier to take out the good from the bad. Sometimes it's easier to take out the bad from the good. On Yontif, that's what it depends on, whichever one is easier. For example, let's say you have a cluster of grapes, and a cluster of grapes has a lot of good ones and a lot of bad ones, and you want to serve it to your guests, so you want to remove the bad ones. So on Shabbos, you can't just remove the bad ones. You have to take the good ones from the bad. On Yontif, if there's very few bad ones, so it's easier, it's less tircha to remove the bad grapes, so then that's the way you have to do it on Yontif. You have to do it like that. You have to take whichever one is less tircha. We want to minimize the unnecessary burdens that detract from the enjoyment of Yomtif, and therefore you always have to do whichever one is less when you don't have the heter for borer. But again, if you have the heter of borer, then it is permitted. But if you don't, then you have to do whichever one is the less tircha. The Mishnah Berurah says if it's basically 50-50 and it's just as easy, then you could do whichever one you want. But that it depends on how many. You have more ochel, you have more psoles, and it depends on the size. If some of them are bigger, it's easier to remove those.
Not having time.
Right, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you were so busy that you don't have time, so then that's considered as if you couldn't do it yesterday, even though as far as the food itself, it would have been considered that you would. But if you, honestly, do not have time, so then that's also included in that. What's considered you don't have time? It's a hard question to answer. I can't answer you. Like, if my kids were in the bath and this and that, and it's a hard... But if you're confident, then it's the type of thing where you do not have time, so then that is the same type of heter. If you forgot, that's not considered. No, someone's own personal fault. Other examples. Let's say you have a cucumber salad or coleslaw that you want to use a perforated spoon to strain the liquid. Or you want to use two spoons. Like a lot of times you have a salad and you pick it up with two spoons and then you hold it on top of the bowl and the liquid, the dressing, drips out to the bottom. So we spoke about those halachas by Borer. So that's considered you're doing it with a kli. On Yontif, which answers your question, on Yontif you're allowed to, anytime you're allowed to do borer on Yontif, that, meaning that you couldn't do it yesterday and it's a small scale, you're even allowed to use a kli. You're even allowed to use a utensil. We said on Shabbos that most places can say you're not allowed to use a kli on Shabbos, a specialized utensil, like a peeler. Most places can say you're not allowed to use a peeler on Shabbos. We said perhaps Moshe Feinstein says you are allowed to, but most places can say that you should not use a peeler on Shabbos. On Yontif, you are allowed to use a peeler. Once it's not able to be just as good as yesterday, you're totally allowed to do borer and you're allowed to use a peeler. So to pick up with a salad and you pick up with spoons, on Shabbos that's not allowed. You know, you let the juice drip out of the coleslaw. A lot of people just subconsciously, they pick up the coleslaw from the bowl and they let the juice drip out. Rabbi Asher says on Shabbos that's not allowed to be done because you're using borer. It's considered borer. The juice is absorbed into the vegetables. That's what the place can say. That's another example of teruvis. It's a mixture. And on Shabbos, you're using it, even if you consider that that's not considered psolos mitoch ochel, but you're using a kli, you're using a utensil that makes the borer more efficient. That's considered with a kli. On Yontif, that's allowed. On Shabbos, that's not allowed. Another example, a strainer is also allowed on Yontif. On strainer is allowed on Yontif. Another example, hold on one second. Another example that we spoke about was for your son, the chicken soup for your son. That you take out, you have a big bowl of chicken soup and you want to pour out the soup, but holding back all the matzo balls and the vegetables and the chicken. So you use the lid. You use the lid. The Rabbi Asher says that's not allowed. Even though the lid is not a specialized utensil for borer, but it makes the borer more efficient because I'm leaning over the pot and holding the lid off against the pot, and then the juice, the chicken soup, whatever it is, just strains out. On Shabbos, that's not allowed. On Yontif, that's allowed. Because if you would separate it, same thing with the ladle. If you would hold the ladle, Rabbi Yashua says you're not allowed to use that because you're using a kli that makes the borer more efficient. That you're not allowed in this way, the English forum bring it as well. But you're using a kli. We said for Shabbos, it has to be all three conditions. It has to be for immediate use. This is, of course, immediate use. It has to be not be kli, and it has to be the good from the bad. So even if you're taking the good from the bad, it's not allowed to be with a kli. On Yontif, that is allowed. Tea bags, right? The big controversy of tea bags. So we said there's a number of reasons why perhaps you're not allowed to use tea bags and why you shouldn't use tea bags on Shabbos. Rabbi Yashiv says you're allowed to use tea bags on Yontif. Because even if you consider the tea bag a kli that's specialized for borer, on Yontif, that's allowed. If you make the tea essence before Shabbos, it's before Yontif, it's not as good. And of course, it's a small scale. It's a small amount. So therefore, tea bags are allowed. And even if you get into discussions of Bishul, that it's cooking the tea leaves, on Yontif, that's allowed. So you're allowed to use tea bags on Yontif. Bones and fish, we spoke about before. Another category that we said, we keep on saying that it has to be for a small amount. You're not allowed to do borer on a large scale. For example, let's say to remove impurities from grain. Let's say you have a grain. Anyone who lived in Eretz Yisrael, you know that a lot of times you have to sift out lots of flour or something. So even if you're personally doing it on a small scale, if it's the type of thing that you use a sieve or a sifter, it's a type of act that is usually done on a large scale. Even if you're personally doing it for a small scale, if it's the type of act to use the type of kli, type of utensil that is usually used on a large scale, that you are not allowed to do on Yontif. Even if you're personally doing it for a small scale. But if you're using the type of kli that's used for a large scale, then that is not allowed. So you can't sift flour and these type of things on Yontif. Right, that's that restriction that you have to keep in mind. Just a few more examples, and then we have to move on to other malachos.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
It has nothing to really do with Yontif. It's just about taking two spoons and serving salad on Shabbos, right?
Right.
So then you shouldn't serve with two spoons, and if you take one spoon and it just drips out, is that okay?
If it just happens to drip out by itself, that's totally not a problem.
If you take two spoons automatically.
Right, but what happens automatically is not a problem. What happens automatically, that's a davishen and mischaven, and I don't think it's a psikresha, and that's not a problem. But what I was saying is the problem is that you purposely go ahead, you pick up the two spoons, you hold it on top of the bowl to drain it out, and you hold it there for a few seconds, perhaps even like give a nice squeeze to each other to drip out the liquid. That is not allowed.
Thing. It's like a 1 second thing.
It's a 1 second. What happens in 1 second thing? That's not a problem. It's a double shem mischaven. I don't think. I do not really think it's a psik resha, and I don't think that would be a problem to do that on Shabbos. And therefore, I would think it's totally permitted to serve salad with two spoons. But to purposely go ahead and hold it on top like that you know, should not be done. Washing dishes, I'm sorry? A fork and spoon also. You're using it's any type, it doesn't have to be a kli hamiyuchad l'kach that's special for it. As long as the kli makes the borer more effective, then and you're doing it on purpose for borer, not just you happen to pick it up.
So a
then,
fork is worse.
Yeah, okay, could be. I don't know if it's for sure. You know, I don't know how much. Is it for sure liquid's gonna come? That's Hashem. When we discuss borer again, we'll get into more. Washing dirty fruit. Let's say you have dirty fruit on, and I'm not talking about just regular tiny things that you know your own because you're careful just to get it totally clean. But there's a dirt, a fruit got dirty. Rabbi Yashiv says it's mutter to clean that off under the sink on Yontif. If you remember from borer, we said that it's a big machlokas on Shabbos if that's allowed. Since many people say that's allowed on Shabbos anyways, so then therefore on Yontif, Rabbi Yashiv says it's mutter to wash a fruit underneath the sink on Yontif, because anyways, plenty of people say on Shabbos it's allowed, so you can wash that. That's not a problem with borer. Sifting noodles, okay, we'll skip that. Bugs, and we'll skip. Mixed shirts, socks, jewelry, and sfarim. Right. So if you have mix, we discussed this by borer. If you have a mix of shirts and socks and other things that and toys. So now we need, those are all not food. So the question is, do we say mitoch by borer, right? We said last week and in the beginning that mitoch means that if it's a ochel nefesh type of malacha, can it be done for non-foods? So the major, major discussion, do we say mitoch by borer? It seems as if the Mishnah Brura seems to hold that we do not say mitoch by borer. So therefore, anytime that it's not food, and therefore it's not ochel nefesh, you have to do it like you do on Shabbos. Meaning we said that if you're allowed to do it for ochel nefesh, if you apply the rule of mitoch, then you're allowed to do it even for non-ochel nefesh, even for non-foods. What the Mishnah Brura seems to hold is that you do not say mitoch, and plenty of others, that you do not say mitoch by borer, and therefore anytime you come across jewelry, toys, things like that, that needs to be done like you do on Shabbos. If you do it like you do on Shabbos without the most tircha, then that will be permitted very quickly.
Does that also apply about using hot water?
Like hot water is food.
For cooking, but right. Not like if you want to use...
That's all part of ochel nefesh, right? Okay, no. So as far as hot water, then when we get to bishul, then and mavir, when we're going to discuss those halachas. But right now we're just talking about borer. But for other malachos, we'll see. We're going to have to each and every malacha. We're going to have to discuss. Do we say mitoch and how it applies?
Do whichever's easier.
Whichever one is easier.
With toys,
yeah. So you don't always necessarily take.
Like Shabbos, really.
Right, that's why I said before that even those three conditions, there's one difference that by Shabbos you always have to do the good from the bad. On Yontif you have to do sometimes the bad from the good, whichever one is less, whichever one is easier to take out. Schita, right? We discussed at length number of weeks ago the halachos of squeezing out foods. So squeezing out foods like grapes and olives we discussed, and we discussed oranges and grapefruits and things like that. So by these liquids, most of them, you would think that it's not as good if you would squeeze it out before a yontif, right? If you want to squeeze out an orange or a lemon or a grapefruit, it's not as good if you would squeeze it out before a yontif.
Schita with food.
We're talking about schita with food. We'll get to schita by non-foods in a moment. But schita by foods, all these things, olives and grapes, all of them, they're not as good if you would squeeze it out yesterday. So if I would ask you, you would think, oh, that therefore I would be allowed to squeeze out these items on yontif because it's not as good if I would do it yesterday. Even so, the halacha is that you are not allowed to squeeze out these foods for the purpose of the juice on Yom Tov. And the reason is, the way the Mishnah Brura explains, it's a big discussion, what seems to come out is because in those days, schita was done on a large scale. Okay, schita was done on a large scale, and therefore even nowadays we say that squeezing out these fruits and vegetables for the purpose of the juice is not allowed on yontif. So if you remember, we were discussing by a grapefruit, right? At the end of the grapefruit, you pick up the grapefruit and you squeeze it out onto your spoon. That is not allowed on Shabbos, and that is also not allowed on yontif. Even if you consider a grapefruit only asa midarabanan, if you remember, we discussed is it asa midaraisa, perhaps it should be machmed that it's asa midarabanan, or if it's either way, you're not allowed to go ahead and squeeze it out purposely on yontif, because normally it used to be done on a large scale and it doesn't change nowadays. So again, to go ahead and squeeze out fruits and vegetables for the purpose of the juice is not allowed on yontif, just like Shabbos. However, we spoke about four heterim back then. I'm sure you all remember clearly. We spoke about four heterim back then, and some of them apply on yontif as well. We spoke about three of them are sucking those oranges, grapefruit, grapes, and olives, sucking it while you're holding in your hand. That was one of them, one heter we spoke about. Not squeezing it out onto a plate, but sucking it straight into your mouth. Number two was squeezing it out for the benefit of the solid, right? Like squeezing out the oil from tuna fish and things like that. And number three, we spoke about squeezing it out straight onto a solid. I mean, you squeeze out a lemon straight onto salmon or straight onto a salad. Those three heterim are allowed on Yontif, even for olives and grapes. Even for olives and grapes, that was the category number one we said, which is the most strict. And even if you want to be machmir like Rabbi Yashav, that grapefruits and oranges are like that also, on Yontif that's allowed. Again, you're allowed to squeeze it straight onto the solid, you're allowed to squeeze it out for the benefit of the solid, and you're allowed to suck it out straight into your mouth while holding your hand. On Yontif we have those leniencies even by category number one. However, heter number four that we spoke about, that if it squeezes out by itself, Mashkin Sezava, we spoke about if you're cutting up grapes for a child and automatically some of the juice comes out onto the plate, that the halacha is that remains the same by Yontif, and it is only permitted for category number two and not for category number one. It's not permitted for grapes and olives, and if you're strict that grapefruits and oranges are the same as well, then that would not be permitted for grapefruits and oranges. Rav Shlomo Zalman Overach and Rav Moshe Feinstein say that those are still only osmid rabbanan, but you know that we spoke about back then. If the juice, you can't use that juice. Right? It comes out by itself. Like I'm cutting grapes for a child. So even on Yontif, you're not allowed to use that juice. You're not allowed to lick that juice off of the plate. We discussed back then if it was muksa or not on Shabbos. On Yontif, it's not muksa. On Yontif, you're not going to be strict that it's muksa. But
and the grapefruit, if you peel and juice comes out, you can't treat that juice.
So that if it comes out by itself, so then it will be the same as Shabbos. According to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Overach and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, you're allowed to use it. According to Rabbi Yashav, you're not. We said back then, Rabbi Sachs said you should be machmer like Rabbi Yashav. Like we said back then, not everybody over here is beholden to Rabbi Sachs, but there is a chumer Rabbi Yashav to consider grapefruits and oranges like category number one.
Seriously, every single Shabbos, we peel a grapefruit and I pour the juice in the cup and one of my kids drink it.
Okay, fine. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Overach and Rav Moshe Feinstein says that's totally okay. Because you didn't go ahead purposely and squeeze it for that. It just came out by itself. So that's category number two. And according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Overach and Rav Moshe Feinstein, you could go ahead and do it. And I'm telling you, you know, you could go ahead and continue.
Didn't you say back then also, like, let's say you cut the grapefruit in half and then, like, you make
right. So the juice, that's left in that half of grapefruit, that anyways, that's not a problem. Right. Even according to Rabbi Yashav, Rabbi Yashav says that's not a problem. That's not a problem.
Right.
No, on the plate is different. But if it's still in the grapefruit, we said that it never lost its category of part of the grapefruit, and never lost its we consider it still part of the grapefruit. And even Rabbi Yashav would say that would be permitted. Yeah.
What does squeezing oil from tuna mean? You could squeeze out the oil from the tuna.
We have to work it out as far as borer is concerned. But that we said you can't do it for later use. But as far as schita is concerned, we said that would be considered like category number two.
For immediate use,
you're allowed to use it, and we said that it's not a problem with borer. I'm sorry. Well, you do a napkin. We said, right? Check your notes. A napkin and the paper towels. We said that's the way to do it. Okay. That's what we say. You can't do it with the cover of the tuna can because that's using a kli similar to the cover of something else, even if it's not miyuchad lekach. But you can't use the cover of the tuna can. But the way the Pesachim say is to do it with a paper towel, of course, if it's cut before Shabbos, or a napkin or tissue, something like that.
If you pour over the soup without holding the lid, you just pour it.
That's allowed. Because you're not using a kli to help you do that. You're just pouring it out slowly. That's totally allowed. We said that even on Shabbos, that's allowed.
But pouring like a can of corn, that wouldn't because you're taking away the juice. That's the bad.
That's the bad. It has to be only for... Yeah, that would not be allowed. We spoke about by pickles, if you remember when we were speaking out, pouring it out like that. Right. Tochen. Right, so we discussed a number of weeks ago the halacha of cutting up... I'm sorry. We have before tochen, schita by non-foods. I promise to get the schita by non-foods. So the halacha is clear. We do not say mitoch by schita. So even if you have cases of schita by foods, that we have certain these heterim, by schita by non-foods is not allowed. We never discussed the halachos of malabin and things like that. I'm in the midst of working the past few weeks on the malacha of malabin. Bez Hashem, we'll get the chance to do that one time. But schita by non-foods is totally not allowed. So as far as cleaning up spills on the table and things like that, which we didn't get to so much, but those are going to be the same halachos in Shabbos, and Bez Hashem, we'll discuss that at a further time. Tochen, as far as cutting up foods on Yontif. So whatever is mutter to do on Shabbos, like we discussed back then, it's mutter to do on Yontif. That's for sure. But the thing is that we have to discuss some cases, perhaps, that are not allowed on Shabbos, perhaps they are allowed on Yom Tov. And that's the following, as you all could guess already. There are some things that if you would cut them up before Yom Tov, it wouldn't be as good today if I would have cut it up yesterday. Anything that is on a small scale, it's just for the meal, and it will be not as good if I would have cut it up yesterday, then I am allowed to cut them up on Yom Tov, even small, even to a size that I would not be allowed to do on Shabbos, but I'm allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yashiv says, thank you very much, Rabbi Yashiv says, even with a grater, you're allowed to even use a grater, even a kli hamayuchad lekach. Once it's allowed on Yom Tov, because it wouldn't have been as good yesterday, you're allowed to even use a grater. You're allowed to mash bananas and potatoes. Those would be not as good if you would mash them yesterday. So therefore, I'm allowed to mash them today. Avocado. I wasn't so sure about avocado because perhaps it would be just as good yesterday. My wife always says, if you put the pit in... No, it's not true? If you put the pit in... Okay, so you're all right. Okay, I'm wrong and you're right. The piskachuva brings that also avocado. You're allowed to mash it up on Yom Tov because I even looked in the index looking for avocado, aleph, vase, you know, the way they spell it. And they said avocado is allowed to be mashed up on Yom Tov because it'll be not as good if you do yesterday. Apples and other fruits, if you would cut it up, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says it's allowed because it would turn brown, and you're allowed to cut them up even in small pieces on Yom Tov. Vegetables, I think, you know, vegetables also would be not as fresh if you would cut them up yesterday.
Yeah,
so you're allowed to do it today. Vegetables is not so simple. Reb Nissen Krelitz says, you know, you should only do it with a shinui, but the other place can say that it's allowed. You're allowed to cut up vegetables because it would not be as good if you would do yesterday. Onions, garlic, and maror also. It would not be as sharp if you would do it yesterday. It would lose its sharpness, as sharp as you want. Of course, we want the maror as sharp as you want. Maybe we'll discuss. We're not going to get a chance to discuss the halachos of maror. I was just teaching yesterday in the Beis Yaakov, but maybe next Pesach. But as far as cutting it up, onions, garlic, and maror, you're allowed to grate even without a shinui, even regular. You're allowed to cut those up because it would lose the sharpness if you would do it yesterday. By foods that would, if you would cut up, would be just as good as yesterday, such as nuts, like almonds and walnuts. Please tell me if you could think of other examples of foods that if you would chop it up or cut it up to yesterday, it would be just as good as today. If anyone thinks of any other examples, please tell me. That, let's say almonds and walnuts, if you would chop it up yesterday, so over there we say that you can't just go ahead straight out and chop them up on Yom Tov, because you totally could have done it yesterday, and that's what we keep on saying. That's what it depends on. If you could have done yesterday, then you can't go ahead and just chop them up. However, the Rama tells us, and this is true by all malachas, I believe you mentioned this last week, that anything that you could have done yesterday, you're allowed to do today with a shinui. Okay? It's preferable to do it yesterday, but if you didn't do it yesterday, then you're allowed to do it today with a shinui. What is considered chopping something up or grating something up with a shinui, with a change? So, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says you could hold the grate upside down. Careful with your fingers, but if you could do it upside down, then you are allowed to chop it up even on Yom Tov, even though it could have been done before Yom Tov. Again, preferably to do it before Yom Tov. If you didn't, then you'll be allowed to do it with a shinui, such as holding the grate upside down. Another example of a shinui is, the Mishnah Berurah says like this, is to do it instead of onto a plate or onto a cutting board, then you're allowed to do it straight onto a napkin or the countertop. That's considered a shinui. The Mishnah Berurah says you don't need the most amazing shinui in the world. As long as you do it straight onto the countertop, which is considered a shinui, we usually don't do that. We usually do it onto a plate or a cutting board. Then that will be enough to do it. So if you didn't cut your walnuts or something beforehand and you want to put it onto the top of a topping or something, so then that will be allowed. Charoses, right, has nuts. It could have been done yesterday. So if you didn't do it yesterday, you're allowed to do it today with a shinui. This that you need to do with a shinui is also true by non-gedulei karka, right? I'm sure you remember when we discussed tochen, we discussed by foods that are not grown from the ground. Cheese, fish, meat, chicken, eggs. There are plenty of foods that are not gedulei karka. So over there, we said that on Shabbos that will be allowed. However, on Yom Tov, that's also allowed, but it needs to be done with a shinui. If it could have been just as good yesterday. It's the same halachos by the non-gedulei karka. If it would have been just as good yesterday, I have it written down. There's eggs, right? Is the eggs just as good yesterday? Is that wrong? I don't know. Eggs, cheese, you guys know better than me. If it could have been chopped up just as good yesterday, then you have to chop it today with a shinui. If it would not have been as good yesterday, if you would have cut up the cheese or the eggs, if it would not have been not as good yesterday as today, then you could go right ahead and you could cut it up.
It's more strict than Shabbos.
On Shabbos, we said that by non-gedulei karka, then it would be right. It would be allowed. But on Yom Tov, we have the rules that it could have been done yesterday. If it could have been done yesterday, then you know it would not be allowed straight out. It could be done with the shinui, but it would not be allowed straight out.
On Shabbos, let's say like eggs.
Something like eggs on Shabbos. So we spoke about back then. I think that is straight out mutter, right?
Mm-hmm. Like notes. Yeah, I just listened to it last night. Yeah.
You just listened to it last night. See, even myself, I don't remember
what you said.
Right, the Mishnah Berurah says by meat, chicken, fish, eggs, cheese, and deli that could be chopped up even into very small pieces.
With
yeah. Yeah, even with a regular. Yeah, even with a. With no, that. No, I'm sorry. That can't use a regular chopper. Right, that could be with a regular knife, but it can't be used a regular a grater. That can't be used a grater.
Okay,
right.
So you can use a utensil.
Right, that you could use a utensil, but you can't use a specialized utensil for chopping. That's on Shabbos. Even by these non-gedulei karka.
With a fork.
Yeah, with the back of a spoon or with a fork. Right, but not a special. That's on Shabbos, but not a specialized. On Yom Tov, so on Yom Tov you'd do it on the counter as well. But if any shinui, yeah, whatever the shinui is, will be allowed. If it's something that could have been done yesterday, if it's something that was not able to be done on yesterday, then it will be totally permitted, just like Shabbos. But I guess on Shabbos I'd have to check into that again. But it could be that for non-gedulei karka it would not be allowed with a specialized. Seems like the Rama says by Yom Tov. You could even use a grater. It seems like it's that nekuda. It's still more kulatik. The Rama says that you could even use a grater even by non-gedulei karka. So that's what basically comes out, that you have a kula over Yom Tov over Shabbos by these non-gedulei karka, that if it could have been done yesterday, it's totally mutter even with a grater. If it could not have been done yesterday, then it's totally mutter even with a grater. If it could have been done yesterday, then we say you have to do it with a shinui, and meaning the shinui is that we said, and I would imagine that also over there it could not you cannot use the regular a grater. Meat? I don't know. Could meat have been done yesterday?
Yeah. Like
it would be just as good if it had been done yesterday? Okay, fine. Right. So would it be just as good if it was done yesterday? Yeah. So imagine you could. Then you can't use a specialized cleaver, but you could use a regular knife, for sure. You'd be allowed to. On Yom Tov. Yeah. By Tochin as well, the same idea that you're not allowed to use a cleaver that's for large scale. Like a millstone. Any of you have a millstone in the backyard, so you're not allowed to use that on Yom Tov, even if you personally are doing it on a small scale. But the same idea that you're not allowed to grind grain into flour. That's usually done on a large scale for many days. So that's not allowed. And you're not allowed to use a utensil that's like a millstone for even if you're personally doing it just for today. Lush kneading. Right, so we were never zeicha to do the halachos of lush. That's one of the halachos, one of the malachos that I still would like to do at some point in the future, Bez Hashem. But kneading on Shabbos, Bez Hashem, is going to get a little bit complicated. But for Yom Tov, it's actually quite simple. Lush is definitely considered ochel nefesh. Lush is considered definitely ochel nefesh. And therefore, if you want to mix up, you want to knead dough or chopped liver, egg salad, baby cereal, or oatmeal, so then all those basically would not be as good if it was done yesterday. I think you'd all agree to that, those are not as good if you would have mixed it yesterday. And it's definitely considered an ochel nefesh act. And therefore, you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, even with a special kli used for kneading, for mixing, that is allowed on Yom Tov. That's basically quite simple. As far as beating an egg on Yom Tov, so the halacha is very interesting, that there's no problem of lush when it comes to mixing an egg, you know, scrambling an egg. It's not considered lush because they're both considered liquid and it's all considered one food. Lush, we'll see, Bez Hashem, if we do lush, that it has to be a liquid and a solid, you know, the binding agent and then the other particles. So by lush, it's not a problem by beating an egg. It happens to be, though, you're not allowed to beat an egg on Shabbos for a totally different reason. Something you'll never guess. That you're not allowed to beat an egg on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah says, because it's maris ayin. Because it looks as if you're going to put it into a frying pan. So if someone sees you beating an egg, the Mishnah Berurah says, and this is something we don't just go ahead and argue in the Mishnah Berurah, this is what the Mishnah Berurah, that's the halacha, that you're not allowed to beat an egg on Shabbos, even if you're just planning on drinking it because you're a chazan and you want to just have it straight. But if you're not allowed to beat an egg because it looks like you're going to put it in a frying pan. On Yantif, of course, there's no such marasayin like that because you're allowed to put it in a frying pan. So what's the big deal? So there's no problem of lush and there's no problem of marasayin. So you are allowed to beat an egg on Yantif. We're not going to discuss taking off challah on Yantif because I don't think anyone actually goes ahead and makes a dough on Yantif. So
I did that once?
I ran out of challah. Okay, so you had to bake a dough. Yeah. So the halacha is that if you bake a challah on Yantif, you should take off challah. You can be mafresh the challah like you regularly do during the week. You should do that on Yantif as well. There's a big discussion if you should go ahead and burn the challah. Should you do that on Yantif? That's mavir, that's burning something, that's cooking it up. There's a question, there's a discussion about that. It may depend on if you have lecha mishnah or not. If you, like you said, if you ran out of challah and you need to use this challah for lecha mishnah, so you should, the halacha is basically that you should go ahead and burn it, and therefore now you could go ahead and eat the challah.
If that happens, you need to use enough flour to take the challah.
Well, if you bake enough that you don't have enough to take off challah, there's amounts, how much flour for taking off, and then there's amount, even 4.95 pounds of flour to take off with a bracha, the same as during the week. Sorry about tochen, just one obvious thing we said about tochen, not obvious, but tochen by non-foods. We say mitoch by tochen and not. So the halacha is a big discussion. By each one is a big discussion. The Mishabur seems to come out that you do not say mitoich by toichen. So anytime you have toichen by non-foods, such as you got dirt on your outfit that we discussed by toichen, and mud or something, and grinding it up and scraping it off your jacket or your skirt or whatever it is, or your shoe, so then it's the same halachos as on Shabbos, Ayin Sham, back there, what the halacha is, because we do not say mitoch by toichen. By Losh, there's not so many cases, but definitely you would say mitoch by lush because it's definitely an ochel nefesh act. We do not have time to do bishul bez Hashem next week. We're going to just do, we have a couple minutes, we're going to do something else. Cooking and making fires and lowering fires bez Hashem will do next week. We're going to do next week bathing and showering and muksa. What just the last few minutes we have over here, carrying on Yantif. So I'm not going to get into all the details of carrying, the same way we're not going to be doing in detail the malacha of carrying on Shabbos, because there's an Erev here. My guess is that most people here do use the Erev. Just one halacha, obviously, to keep in mind. We said you're not allowed to do a malacha for the purpose of after Yantif. So if you don't use the Erev, or if there's no Erev, so yes, you're allowed to carry on Yantif if you have a Yantif need. But you're not allowed to do something for after Yantif. Even if there's an Erev, and you use the Erev, so then it's not considered as if you're carrying, you're not allowed to do Hachana for after Yantif. We discussed maybe some leniencies that if you couldn't do it tonight and things like that, but to do carry something to Shul, or carry something that's just for the purpose, solely for the purpose of after Yantif, or even for the second night, the second day of Yantif, that would not be allowed. That's just something to keep in mind as far as carrying. As far as salting vegetables on Yantif, maybe we'll wait for that for next week. Let's just discuss Memachik and Memareach. We'll discuss salting next week. Salting we never discussed about Shabbos. I know you put in a request to do those halachas for Shabbos. Bez Hashem, we'll get to those halachas on Shabbos. How to make salt water. It's very important for Pesach. We'll discuss that Bez Hashem next week. Memachik and Memareach. We discussed that a number of weeks ago as far as smoothing things. So we had by Shabbos, as far as non-foods for squeezing, for smoothing ointments and things like that, anything that's not a food, so then we do not say mitoch by memachik and memareach, so therefore it has to be the same as Shabbos. But as far as foods, we were discussing, if you remember, from spreading frosting upon a cake and spreading out chopped liver to make it look nice, so we discussed by Shabbos that smoothing out things that are asur midrabbanan, for the even food, for the purpose of looking nice, meaning to smooth peanut butter on your matzah, that's totally not a problem because you're not doing it to look nice. You're just doing it. What? I'm talking about Shabbos. So to smooth, you said, we're talking about Shavuos and Sukkos. So smoothing out peanut butter on matzah is not a problem because you're not smoothing it to look nice. That's not a problem. But smoothing out for something to look nice, so then we say, the Rama says, it's better to be machmir. He didn't say it's asur, he said it's better to be machmir, to make it for nice purposes. But on Yantif, that's not a problem. On Yantif, as long as it couldn't have been done yesterday, I think if you would spread the frosting on the cake yesterday, it would be different. It would be much better if it's done today. If you spread out the chopped liver on a plate, or the egg salad on a plate, the tuna fish, it would be better if it's done today than if it would be done yesterday. Therefore, you're totally allowed to go ahead by foods. Even if you're doing it to look nice, it is allowed to be done on Yantif, you can't use a bar of soap. You're not allowed to melt things like the bottom of a candle to put it into a holder. You're not allowed to do that on Yantif. That's not for food, and we do not say mitoch by mimachik and mimareach. Refuah. I'm sorry.
You could design with the
tuban yantif, even though you're trying to make it perfect. It's only midrabanan, and that's allowed for food. We said that that is allowed. On Shabbos, we said that's better to be machmir. But on Yantif, we said that's totally allowed. For refuah, like spending ointments for the purpose of refuah. So we spoke about refuah last week already. We said refuah is not considered shalal l'chol nefesh. So therefore, for the first day Yantif, you're not supposed to do refuah. For a second day Yantif, we said you are allowed. And again, anything that's allowed to be done on Shabbos is allowed to be done on Yantif. I'm talking about justam and mechosh ba'alma, that would not be allowed. So Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll do cooking and fires, laying down fires. Measuring we have to do, muksa, a few things, and I think that's it. Very good. Sorry?